I will enter his courts with praise. See, it's got to be your stuff. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. You're singing to him. I love her. I will rejoice, for he has begun. Then you give him a kiss. Oh, come, let us adore. There you go. Oh, come, let us. Watch it, watch it. Something's going to happen to you right now. Get your eyes on him. Oh, don't look at me. Let us adore. There he is. Now I got another part of that. You got to see what you're saying and singing. You got to get your imagination involved, because the secret of your imagination is an image of him. You don't just sing. You don't just pray. You must see him, and how you see him, you got to look at him face to face. Because when you see him, you'll see the brightness, the beauty. Sometimes it don't start out that you see this, but when you begin to press in, press in, press in, you will come to a place where he will open up to you. That wonderful warmth and that wonderful radiation will begin to come. Abro siete le cose tasa, comasi tropa. Will begin to come forth as you begin to express yourself to him. See it right now. He has made me glad. I don't know if you know the. He has made me glad. Come on, see him. I will rejoice. I will rejoice for you. I will rejoice. I will rejoice for you. Make me glad. Then you must kneel. I come into your presence, the presence of the holies of holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to honor you. I enter to worship. I praise you, for I'm beautifully, wonderfully made, marvelous. I am yours, and you are mine. And I say, thank you. Come on, sing. You got to say thank you. No matter what you've been through, let it out of your heart. Come on, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now you start telling and bragging them, you've been so good. Oh, you're coming on now. Come on, that's you and him. Come on. Woo! Yes, sir. Come on, come on. You're working on it. Come on. You've been so good. Come on, you may get them again. You've been good, you've been good. Something. Do you see any change from the time you start singing and then now? Do you see any change? Let me see if you sense a change around you right now. That is called an atmosphere change. That's called setting a framework for you to meet yourself. You can't meet yourself if you have not first met Him. Important. God cannot introduce you to yourself until He introduced you to Himself. And that's how you open up that door. The door is called the door of the supernatural, the door of transformation, the door of never being the same again. For every time, I'm going to show you. Every time you do this, you change. Every time you set this atmosphere, you're touched. I would come into His presence with thanksgiving. He says, why do you think I'm doing it? I don't need you. You need me to show you myself and yourself. And in that atmosphere, He begins to work on you. From the inside out. In the places that you don't even know about. In the places that you didn't even know were problematic. He simply comes in there by His Spirit. Because you honor me. Because you recognize me. I can't help to take all that pressure away. What takes the pressure away is His presence. For in His presence is what? And life, peace, joy. He puts the mantle on you that's on you every day. You don't leave your house. You don't do anything outside of your house until you have had the time to meet with Him. Watch this. So you can meet yourself. Again, you meet yourself for the first time every day. Come on and praise Him right now. Because there's so much that you don't know about yourself that you can't get with one meeting. And so He set an atmosphere for you that you might meet yourself, that you might meet Him. Somebody says, preacher, why does He do that? It is a dress rehearsal. For the time where there will be no more death. He says, let me get you familiar with the atmosphere where there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain. Let me get you ready for that new body I got for you. Let me take you a little bit on that. I've got a glorified body, but let me just give you a sample of it now. I want somebody to praise Him right now. Come on, start praising. Come on, start Rabba, Kabra, Shede, Robo, Rabba, Sadara, Bokusha, Dada, Roma, Madada, Dada, Dada, Dato, Shita, Dada, 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 Rosha, Dada, Rasha, Dada. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you my daddy, you my daddy, you my daddy. And when a child begins to pump on his daddy, if the daddy got any kind of anything and that boy and girl has come from his loins, he might not be able to get it from mama. But when you start pumping on daddy with sincerity and truth, daddy said, baby, don't tell mama, but and that is, I am. He don't just come to you to play with you. He does not call you and invite you to be his because you asked him to. You here without your permission. Ain't no child ever been born and said, "Daddy, let me come." You are here because Daddy said, "I need me some pleasure. And I'm going to get it to the beloved, my honey, my wife. And now I see the results of it." Come on, praise him right now. Come on, praise him right now. That's the God kind of daddy. And when he says, he begins to look over you and say, "I find no fault. I find no fault. I find nothing in you. You came from me." And this is the beauty thing about it. He says, "I love you so much. Until if you ever get lost, I'll send my finest, my greatest, my last, my only begotten. I will crucify him in order to get you back." What kind of daddy is that? "I'll give up my very best to get you back." Come on and praise him right now. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to give up one who never committed a sin. I'm going to give up one who's never made a mistake. I'm going to give up one. And then by giving him up, I'm showing the devil, "This is how I really function, devil. You can't do nothing to keep what I have ordained for myself. I will give up my finest, my best, my last." And I said, "Go down there and die. And come back and report." But in that mystery, I'll let you see now. In that mystery, when he sends his son, he sends himself. Because behind that robe of flesh is "I am." God the Father comes down inside of his son to blow the devil's mind, because he wants you to believe that he's a mean God, but he humbles himself. God was in Christ. Daddy was in Christ. God, Elohim, God the Father, the Son is in Christ. God, Daddy. Somebody said, "Well, how can he be in here and in heaven?" He can be everywhere. He doesn't even need to leave heaven. Come on and praise him. And step down and blow in Mary. "I am that I am. I can be where I want to be. I am the resurrection and the life." Then he stepped down into this place. He says, "Oh, so I got to tell you something, devil. You think you're bad. But I'm going to let you know I have no fear of death either. While in my son, I have the ability to die. I have also the ability to get up whenever I want to." Come on, praise him right there. Come on, praise his name. "You think death can stop me? I can go down in that earth and I can die. And I can get up whenever I want to get up." Somebody shout and bless his name. Come on and praise him right now. Take your seat. Yeah! Now here we go. Take your seat. Let me get the process. We began it, but this is the process that you got right there. It's not something that you do in emergencies. Turn to the book, Psalms 55. God is an organized God, and he has a method by which he wants to spend time with you so he can introduce you to himself, so he can prepare you for every day until that moment in time that you see him. When you leave this earth and see him and come in glory, he don't want you to be without him. 5 or 6 days, 5 or 6 weeks. And then you come running to him because somebody died. Come running to him because you laid off your job. He is not a pimp. Come on, praise him right now. He's not a player. Very sincere about you and his plan for your life and the directions that he has for you. As I said this morning, when he looks at you, he looks as a person that he's never seen before. There are no two people just alike, and that is this signature that says, I am that I am. I have all these people through all the generations, millions and millions of people, a number that no man can number, and not one of them is identical. To prove to you who I am, you cannot box me in. And so you, if you are the person here and you're 6 feet tall, why is it that a lying devil says you need to be 6'10 so you can be like somebody 6'10? And that's been chasing your life all your life, a lie. If I were just a little bit taller. And for those people who are tall, if I were a little bit shorter. Perhaps he made a mistake. Perhaps I should have been black. But he made me white. What's the problem with me? My hair is not quite right, and my eyes are not quite right, and I look at my toenails, and they're not quite right. What are you arguing about? The most important thing in your life that you are and have been chosen by God to be an habitation of I am. Somebody says, how did that start? Well, it started in the Garden of Eden. It started in the Garden of Eden where God made a decision that he would have a place to dwell in this earth. Let us, what? I can't hear you. What did he say? What did they say? Let us what? Let us what? Make man. And that include, in the man was a female. So man does not necessarily mean male. Man means mankind. When he made Adam, also inside of Adam was his help. It's to show you the reality that God does it like that. That inside of you is your help. Well, who is my help? Yeshua. Who is my help? Jesus. Who is my help? I am. He says, that's the way I operate. I find a place to dwell. And then from that place, I pull something out that's going to be a team to bring increase. I am going to use them to be a place of habitation in order that I can fill the whole earth. How many know there's a whole lot of people in this world? How many people have been born? You can't name how many people have been born. But it came from somewhere that did not start with the devil. It started with I am. Lift your hand and praise him right there. Now, when I'm to give a command like that, it's important because I'm honoring him. And when you begin to honor him, something shifts in you. When I give a command, stop there, lift your hands, and do what? Praise him. You praise him in the most magnificent way is out of your mouth. Because out of your mouth, and as the flow of recognizing him, watch this, you open the door of the supernatural. You open the portal. There's a door between earth and heaven. It's coming and going. You have not because you don't open your mouth and realize that I need to hook up with heaven. And what the enemy does is to keep your mouth shut because he does not want you to flow up Jacob's ladder. He keeps you looking at all your failures and all your mistakes. And the Lord says, I come down to you because you are my holy habitation. You're my place in your neighborhood. You're my place on your job. You're my place in your neighborhood. You're my place in your family. I chose you as my place of habitation as I chose Adam. Adam and Eve did not ask for the assignment. It was given to them, watch this, even before they were created. Before God created you, he had a specific you that he wanted. He had a specific assignment that was only for you. He had a specific praise that only you could give him. That's why he made your eyes unique. That's why he made your hair unique. That's why he made you unique. Because he wanted something to come from you that was original. Something that comes from you that says he is who he says he is. Come on and praise him, praise him, praise him. Come on, do it like you mean it. This is why he gives you those instructions. He gives you instructions on how to set the atmosphere in order to open up that doorway, that bridge, that sanctifying places where if you could see, and as you go progressing with us, you will begin to see this stuff in the spirit. That is not only himself that's represented, but around him, that comes with him. Even in heaven, right now at the throne, there's, my Bible says this, there are over 100 million angels who do nothing but praise God. How many? How many? Say it again. Ah, Yahshua. And all he's asking you to do is to join in with something that's been going on forever. This just didn't start when Adam showed up. Why you think he created angels? We don't even have a clue of how many billions of years he did the angels. But one of them got kind of smart and said, I want some of that. He said, you want some of that? You're not going to get any of this. You're getting out of here. And that became an enemy to keep you from ever meeting yourself for the first time. The enemy's greatest charge against your life is not for to steal from you, not to be mad with you, not for your husband to leave, but that you do not ever meet yourself for the first time. That's his objective. I will keep that which you have created from you. If I can't get you, I'm going to make sure they don't have you. So watch this. I'm going to give them a false identification. I'm going to change the reason and purpose of their thinking. I'm going to change their whole attitude. Instead of giving praise, they're going to curse and swear and say every negative thing that they can say. They're going to curse themselves in the morning. They're going to curse themselves in the noonday. And then they're going to curse the generations, which is the secret of coming back to God. You curse the sons and daughters in your loins. You curse them when they get here. Some of people, I'm not knocking nobody, no, I don't want you to be condemned. Some people will hate they ever got pregnant. The Bible says, bless the womb. Come on and praise him right now. Come on, open your mouth. And when I say praise him, that means that's a command. Praise him for the truth you just got. He's a bully. I'll snatch your baby son so I can shut your mouth up. I'll get your daughter knocked up so you will stop praising. Of all the people on the job that should have got laid off, you're the only one to get laid off, and you've done the best job. He's trying to shut your mouth up. And when you shut your mouth up, you can't meet that new you that's been assigned every day. Every day while you are here, you should never meet the same person that you met yesterday. Why, Bishop? Because it's new. It's new. Eternal substance, eternal beings. You are physically finite. But there's something about you that hasn't been revealed. There's something about you that hasn't been seen. There's something about you that hasn't been heard, and you keep trying to copy somebody else. And God said, I don't want you to, I got enough of that. I want you. I want you to hear my voice. I want you to know my voice. I want you to know that you made you unique for something before you were ever born. I've been waiting for centuries and millions of years just for you to be born. You are not an accident. You're here because of my permission. I give you permission to go into the earth and to abide and to live and to thrive and to have authority and to realize and be introduced to your Father, and your Father will introduce you to yourself. Isn't that the way it goes? Huh? Child doesn't start introducing himself to the people. His father, parents introduce you. This is my beloved son. You see what it does? He gives an introduction. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Oh, I just saw the picture there. What does he say about you? What does he say about you? Simple truth is that it was just to Messiah Yeshua. But the whole prophetic truth, he was talking about everybody that was in the body. You are my, I like to call you are the descendants of I Am. I've seen this picture before the foundation of the world. And I'm going to have that true picture in eternal futures. That although you don't see it prophetically, the reason that he's chosen you because he saw you at the end before he called you at the beginning. And what he saw was you actually having a picture of understanding of the reality that what he has done and what he's going to do is connected with this. That all that you can have, you've been some good times with him, and you have some better times with him. As I told Pastor, I said, but your best days are yet to come. So as you walk with him, you've got to understand, although you had some good times with him, he says, that still ain't it. Your best time with me is yet to come, and as I introduce myself to you, to expose to you something new, something wonderful, I want you to have, watch this, I was called it a holy addiction. What's the holy addiction? It's that which Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus had in the wilderness. It is that which he says, I always hear and do what my Father said. It is something of a mystery. Well, he cannot live. He cannot move. The Father is contagious. The Father has something about himself that says, I got to get to him now. But you can't get there if you're not introduced. In other words, every time, I don't know if any of you had any drugs, but those, they tell me, the people that had drugs, they say, once you get a good hit of something that's crazy, you'll start trying to go back to it to try to get some more. Now, some of y'all, you don't have to embarrass it. How many have y'all heard that before? Let me see your hand if you huh? I've heard it. Some of y'all ain't never tried it. I'm not telling you to try it. I'm just giving you an idiom or comparison that the Lord says this. Come on in here and get a hit. Watch this, and the hit that I'm giving you is me. And I don't ever run out. I'm never going to get old. The hit today is going to be better than the hit yesterday. He said, I'm going to hit you, and whatever I do today is not compared with what I'm going to do tomorrow. Because I know that you and I are related, and I must always be there to give you who I am as you come before me. Because without me, you can do. So you have, watch this, you don't have a part-time supply. You got an eternal supply. A righteousness, peace, and joy, and gentleness, and kindness, and increase. You don't have to go copying somebody 10-step program. Or call me and I'll give you one of my books. I've written books. That's good stuff, man. But ain't nothing like you going to him and start getting a book. Some people won't tell you because they want you to get their book. But God said, that's why I created you, because you are connected to the book of life. Or the book of me. So you've got to change something. And the thing that you're going to have to change is the lies that you have learned. What Jesus called him, ye are your father's the devil. And the lusts and desires of your father, you will do. You don't have any feelings in it. Get up there. Get up there. Go back to sleep. Don't praise God. You praised him too long. Look at all the stuff you're in. But when you understand the mystery of God, you look at him, and this is what gets him messed up. Hey. Hey. The life I've got is going to be around forever. When he starts messing with you, you start messing with him. And you begin to confess to him the truth. This is how you begin to develop that voice, that intimacy with him. When he speaks, you got to understand the difference between your voice, his voice, Satan, and the voice of God. It is in this place that I'll show in just a minute that that begins to develop. A lot of people born again, sons, don't even know the voice of their daddy. Because they have an addiction to the voice of the enemy. Girl, it's raining out there, cats and dogs. Well, I didn't see no dog. And I didn't see no cat. And I'm not knocking the idiom. But I'm just telling you, you're responding from a place that God says, I'm giving you rain. It's a blessing. But the enemy wants to curse and come against everything that will bring blessing to your family, to your city, to your own life, and to reverse it and speak in a curse. And that comes from habit, that comes from training, that comes from being in the atmosphere where no one begins to release the mystery of opening the door that takes us into heaven. Every day. What did I say? What did I say about that door? Speak it out. I want to see if you're awake. When we go before his presence, what happens? A door opens into heaven, because the secret of it is you have been invited to the throne of heaven. You trying to worship down here by yourself? That ain't what it's all about. This worship includes heaven and earth. That once you hear what I'm telling you, he says, I invite you to join us in heaven. And if you begin to understand, I'm inviting you to get used to what you will receive in the new heaven and new earth. So it won't be a cultural shock that you get there and all of a sudden you pass from this earth and you go and you say, whoo, whoo, whoo. God says, no, you should have got that all every day. Because I don't call a meeting in heaven without calling everybody who's a descendant or related to God in some kind of way. So with new insight, you say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? As it is. Come on and praise him right now. It's always both. But the enemy, through the Greek philosophy and thinking, makes you think that you're separated from heaven in your worship. Now your mind has gotten changed. So when you get up in the morning, you're not getting up for your youngins. You're getting up because you have an appointment. You have a meeting with heaven. And you don't want to be left out. You don't want to. You begin to see why it said hunger and thirst after righteousness. And you shall be filled. Filled from heaven. Filled from heaven. Filled from the throne room of God. But this separation is a Greek mythology, Greek understanding that cuts you off from heaven because they always made you think in Greek philosophy that you had to go to a temple in order to matter. In other words, you live any kind of way you want to live, any recipe. But when you go to church on Sunday, then you get holy. That's Greek thinking. God has appointed for you, I'm about to sit down, that not another day in your life that you don't go before him to meet. He wants you there personally at the throne of God. And it's at the throne of God that he begins to take away that which is not your true identity. And he begins to replace it with an understanding of himself that you never knew before. I have never got on my knees before God since I understood this revelation and never got up with the same understanding of God. Never. Never without a new revelation. What I'm telling you right now, it comes at its feet. It comes as a new experience to me, a new understanding that I'm not just some kid on the block. I matter before the throne. I matter to my Father. And the big thing about it, the angels know. I talk about him having 100 million angels around the throne. Do you have any idea your angels you got? Do you have any grip of how many angels has been waiting for you to find out who you are? And I'm not talking about two or three. Their job and their mission has been assigned to you before you're born. Waiting for you to meet yourself. I guess someone look and say, when you gonna wake up? That you should be understanding that Christ in you is your hope. When you're going to wake up, the greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. When you're going to realize that you have been selected by God to be greater than any angel. We are your servants. You are God's descendants. We wait for you every day to put us and sing to us and talk to God. As you minister to God, we begin to give praise and worship to God, waiting on your praise. You are the conductor of the choir. You're leading this admiration. As the angels are saying that they're waiting for what I'm telling. They're waiting for you to get in there. And they begin to see that, my God, we don't have that, but we want to join in with it. Because whatever is in them, it wasn't Messiah. They are the body of Christ. They breathe. They go through this life, through trauma. They are truly a representation of I am through his son. Knowing not who you are. You need to understand that angels give you the same respect they gave Jesus. Because you're connected to Jesus. You have no reason to wake up in the morning. That's why you wake up. Not because you're famous. You wake up because you're connected to heaven through the body of Christ. If you're seeing another picture, I want you to shout hallelujah. Oh, some of y'all ain't get it yet. I said if you're getting a different picture, you need to shout hallelujah. So y'all didn't shout that hallelujah. You got me off of you. But the reason that we stand, the reason that we're here, is to begin to give you the program. To give you the mystery that made Daniel so powerful. To give you the mystery that David said, called my beloved. This is it right now. Psalms 55:17. This is just the beginning. This is the beginning of your training. Verse number 16. Let us stand. Let us all stand. Why you have us stand, preacher? For only one reason. This is the way it was instructed in the time of the Bible. That you have such a respect for God that you just didn't sit down, you stood. Because he was present. How many know he's present? He's right here, but you got to get that. And these are the instructions. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3, verse 16. Start reading. 1, 2, 3, read. Read. So at 16 again. Read it again. As for me, I will call on the God, and the Lord shall save me. Even in the morning and at noon. That's good. I just want you to get step one. How often do you do it? Evening, morning, and noon. Now, if I'm going to give you instructions, you got to know what evening is. When is evening? And what's first? Morning. What's first? What's first? What's first? So you'll get it mixed up and say, I'm going to start doing it in the morning. He says, start evening. Evening is the coming of dark. Okay? Soon as it gets dark, you need to begin to start your praise and worship. Now, the reason, take your seat. The reason that you do, and I'm going to sit down. The reason you started there is because you're setting the atmosphere for your sleep. You are worshiping and praising him and thanking him for the next 4 or 5 or 8 hours when you cannot help yourself. And he says, I'm giving you a type of death. That's why you must have sleep. To let you know that even in your sleep or your death, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And you have no means and ability to breathe because while you're sleeping, I'm breathing through you. And not only am I breathing through you, I'm standing in front of you. I am protecting you, watching you, my child. Well, you have no protection. And I'm convinced that this is the reason I am really prophesying to you, so you will know and the angels will know I will never leave you. Even when you cannot do anything but snore. Lo, watch what he said. I am. That's the Heavenly Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's called the Elohim. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit looking at you as you breathe, looking at you as you fulfill the vision for why you're here at this day and the moment and year and time. He looks at you not like he looks at Daniel, not like he looks at Abraham. He looks at you as a being a new people, and particularly now, he looks at you as a generation of the people of the second coming. You are like under no other people who ever lived, and you still don't get it. You there in that pew, listen to me. You're different from any other people in the world, because whether you know it or not, we are the products of the people who will see Messiah come, dead raised. You're waiting for a great day. I'm telling you, this is a great day. How you know, preacher? Because the word has already prophesied the things that would be in place to allow him to come back. And the place, things have been put in place. So you're not anybody. You're special. And I just come by to tell you so you will not miss your appointment. Because the Bible says some were taken. And the others were left. It's always when he shows up, he takes some and he leaves some. And that's what he tells you, be all. So what? Can you imagine what happens when he told the bridegroom, when he tells the maids, they get up and go to sleep. And then they come running to him. And the first things he tells him, do I know you? What does that mean? You never met yourself. You never let me introduce you to yourself. So you didn't prepare. You had no one-on-one. You had no face-to-face. You had no real encounter that made you say, I don't care what's happening. Ain't nothing more important. Sleep ain't more important. I got to get up and go meet him. Now, some of y'all are missing this. This is a prophetic speaking preaching right now. Go ye out to meet him. In other words, you have appointment. And you're not even meeting it because you haven't been programmed to meet him. So now we're setting your table for you to begin to set the clock. So the first set of the clock is in evening. You pray, you praise, whatever way you want to do it. Each is unique. But you spend that quality time. You're gonna, I'm going to say this, maybe start you do 5 minutes. But I'm telling you, you begin to give him the knee. You begin to pour out your heart. You begin to have that not only just a spiritual connection, but an emotional connection. You begin to use your imagination because he truly is there. Faith comes by hearing, or imagination, and hearing by the word of God. You got to see a picture before you have faith. You got to see a picture before you can get healed. You got to see a picture before you're doing what I'm telling you to do. You got to see that that's faith. I'm teaching you faith. Faith for this. So you can do it. And once you use the faith to do it, you're going to get the results. And so he says, this is the program that's been in for thousands of years. evening, morning, and noon. David was doing this, brother. Not only David, I can show it in the word, I don't have time. Not only David, what Daniel was doing. The king gonna put him in fire, kill him, get rid of him, whatever. He says one thing. This is chapter 6, I gotta go. I don't care what you do. I'm gonna not just close my doors, I'm gonna open my windows loud. You cannot do that with a one-time encounter. Because if you don't do what I'm telling you, you will always have an aspect of fear. What this does, eliminates the fear and releases the power of God. What's been stolen from the church, they say, why are the signs running? Why is not doesn't happen? It's because there has been no engagement to meet yourself. That's what it says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst at the righteous. What is that? That meeting place. That place that you know you can go in and you come out different with a new word. Do not forsake that place. Come. Every person in our church at home, we tell them, you need to have built your own private sanctuary. You need to have a place in your house which is off limits to anything but the ability to meet God. I can't do that for you. I can tell you the instructions of what it's going to take in these last days. You can't get this whole thing in your mind that we're going to go to church and get it. You got to go in your secret place. And when I come back, or if I ever come back, I don't even know if I'll be invited again. But if it happens, and I ask you, how is your sanctuary doing? I should see a glow on your face, and the glow that you have. You says, Bishop, since I built the sanctuary, I'm eating different. Bishop, since I built the sanctuary, my son got saved. See, that's the reason your children can't come to God, because you don't know the mystery of him coming down in your sanctuary. It's in the sanctuary that he gives you instructions on how to pay for your sons and your daughters. The Egyptian or the Greek thing is only go to church. Come before me personally. You don't have to go to church. Come before me. You are the church. Come before me. 3 times a day. Not when you need an emergency, you can't pay your bills. This is preparing you for the day when the famine comes. This is the pay when the devil comes to take over your state or take over your system where you go to the bank and can't get any money. Well, Bishop, it ain't going to happen. You better wake up. You've got to build these personal sanctuaries, so in that place, you have opened up a portal to heaven. And once you're developed, not only is the portal of heaven built in your life, sometime in that portal of heaven, when you have trauma, he'll transport you to another city. He'll transport you to another country. He'll transport you to Africa. You might not believe this, but I'm telling you the truth. It is for a contact and a connection to do God's business. When you're faced with all kind of trauma, he said, you got to meet with me and go into the portal, and then I'll take you where I want to take you. Can it be done? It's already been done. First century Christians, that's already done. And greater will be the latter rain. We will be transporting, going from here, going from there, because we will not be able to get on a jet plane. We will not be able to do like the world systems. But God himself will say, I will be your God. And you shall be my people. God wants to show out, but he's waiting for us. He's come all the way down, went back and opened up a portal of heaven. That's why he told, I'm going to sit down. That's why the boys, his disciples said, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples, he's telling you how to open up the portal of heaven, how to enter, what the requirements are. This is how you get in there, and this is what you do, and this is how you come back to earth. That seems simple. That seems simple to you, but it's not just a simple word. It is a dynamic practice and also a prophetic impartation to participate with the throne of God. It ain't just a prayer, just a prayer. Why do you think he got the prayer? It came from him. That's how he did it. Simplicity makes it just a prayer. Our Father, with your name. No. Then you sing, Our Father, and you don't even know the implications. that this is a portal to heaven. Teach us to pray, Jesus, in simple words, the way you prayed. The way you went up there into that portal of heaven. We always see you doing stuff. Tell us the mystery. He said, this is the way you do it. We've been in church over 1,000 years, and nobody told us that stuff. Because now God is bringing it back to the house. What I'm teaching you is first, second, and third century believers. Stole and snatched out and began to get all kind of stuff to keep you with a Greek mentality. But this is an intimacy with God. And it says, you meet me when? Evening. Then he watches over you as you sleep. As you enter into that place of death, that place of what is called separation from everything around you. He says, I watch over you. While you're absent one from another. I am your rear guard. I am your hiding place. And then as you sleep, you wake up in the morning. Part number two, you look back at your bed and you say, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? For he has brought me forth. And because he's brought me forth, I will sing that song. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. What are you thanking him for? Because you saw him there as he watched over you while you were absent from yourself. While you didn't know anything about yourself. While you were unconscious. And not only that, he says, as you begin to walk in this, he says, as you're asleep, your body will rest and I will visit you and I will give you visions and I will give you dreams. I will give prophetic anointings. I will begin to prophesy on you. I will give you instructions about your sons and daughters. Watch it happen. And he said, in case you forget about me, you give him my thanksgiving, your praise, please don't give me 5 minutes. Please get up. In fact, you'll get to the place he'll wake you up. Wake up. It'll be an unusual waking. All of a sudden, you try to go back to sleep, you can't go back to sleep. That's not the devil, that's him. Sometimes when we're on lazy and take another through, he says, he said, because he is so into you, I want to spend this time with you. That's him saying, I want to spend this time with you. He takes your sleep and watch yourself fall before him. Watch what happens when you give him the knee. And I've never given him the knee. I've never given a knee. Never, never in these three times a day. But I do more than that. You haven't got there. Don't even worry. Never have I gotten up the same way. Not one time. And I'm sharing it with you so you can get that appetite. And so you get up and you praise him. You thank him for being your covering. You thank him for being your protection. You thank him for what he's about to do that day. You thank him for your sons and your daughters and your husbands and your wives and all the wonderful things that the Lord is doing in your heart. And you sing to him. You praise him. Sometimes you begin to pray in the spirit. Those of you who haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives others, because now the devil really done got confused. That's why he gave it to you, so you can mess the devil's mind up. You don't want him to know everything that's going on between the portals of heaven and earth. And so that praise and worship, that time with him is very special. You got to set it aside. It won't come easy. It won't just come onto you just like you just put on a glove. You've got to be desperate and hungering and thirsting at the righteous. And the Bible says, they shall be filled. Filled with what? Filled to full satisfaction. And your spirit, your soul, your body, your marriage, your finances. Everything that's been missing. You stay with this 1 year and what? Let me come back. And you'll be running to me and say, Bishop, 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 Bishop. Because this is as true as my name is Matthew. You will be a living testimony. And nobody has to slap you up the head, lay upside. You're going to meet him. And you're going to know him. And for some of you, you will actually see his face. It's according to whatever he wants to do. Some of you, you will actually, your hunger will be, see, it deals with your hunger. Your hunger will be so intense until you'll be just like Moses. Show me, show me. In other words, something inside of you said, I want you more than anything in the world. And let me tell you, when that starts to happen, it turns him on. For thou shalt have what? No other God before me. I just want you to burn for me. I want you to just say, Lord, I just want you. I don't want nothing to eat. I don't want no husband. I don't want no boyfriend. I don't want nobody but you. That type of intensity will cause him to reveal himself to you. That hunger, he'll show you himself. In that hunger, you'll get a transfer. Your room will turn into brightness. That's his glory. Your room around you, everything gets as bright as 25 suns. His glory comes from that hunger, just like a child pulling on the parents. That glory. Sometimes for you, some of you may take a week, may take a couple days. But at some point, if that hunger begins to come from you, I'm telling you, he can't help himself. Because what's pulling him is himself. What's pulling him is himself and his son. What's pulling him, I cannot resist those who will hunger and thirst after me like that. Even if I have to come down and close those lions' mouths, it comes from that intensity and hunger. Pulls him from heaven, pulls him from the throne, still on the throne, but says, I got to come and meet your need. I got to see what's been hurting your heart. I saw it, and I'm coming to answer it myself. And I guarantee you, for some of you within the next week, even some of you probably in the next day or so, when you apply this principle, you're going to see change. How many already have a hunger right now? How many got it? How many got it? How many you got it? Come on, come on, you got it? Come on, you got it? That's my job. The hunger, the thirst, the appetite that has been absolutely broken and messed up by the German philosophy and thinking. He says, I sing, I need thee, all I need thee. How am I with my piano? Every hour I'm sitting down, I need thee. You know that one? I'm going to let y'all go. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Let's all as a congregation stand and then be back in the hands. I want you to sing to him. You know, I saw you today. I said, oh, my God, you've been in this house a long time. Oh, my God, still standing. Oh, my God, you're so faithful. And God is going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams.